So, good morning. There was this little girl, and she was running. She was late. She was running off to church. She was wearing this beautiful white dress, and she had her fancy shoes on. And as she's running, she knows, there's no way I'm going to make it there on time. And so she starts praying, because that's what her Sunday school teacher told her. She starts praying, please God, don't let me be late. Please God, don't let me be late. And as she's running, she trips. And she skins her knee. She tears a little bit of her dress off. And she picks herself back up. And she starts running again. And she says, please God, don't let me be late. Please God, just stop pushing me too. You know what? That's my bad joke for the day. So you guys can say that. I've had moments like that where, especially being late, and there's a lot of grace here when we do church. You know what? I love our family here because God's been doing something special. Last week, if you were able to come out, we had a great time. At Church on the Beach this year, it was a time where we got to worship. We had baptisms. People shared their confessional of faith, joined this body to become new members. It's exciting. And I just want to, for those who were there and those who weren't there, I just want you to know that doesn't just stay on the beach. That there's this excitement here about our church and what God is doing in our lives. I'm excited about what this year is going to look like because this is September, okay? And coming into September, you start to plan ahead. And I don't know who here is this crazy, and if Carol was here, she knows that I would totally pick on her because she's constantly posting how many Fridays there is till Christmas. And I'm saying, Carol, slow down, please, because I'm not ready for the winter to come. But it's true. We are planning and getting ready for what's to come. For this year, we're going to have some great small groups. And I'm going to, over the next couple weeks, I'm going to announce what our small groups and the times that we're going to have them throughout the week. We have some groups that will be meeting here, some in people's homes. We're going to be having different missions activities. If you are interested in helping and serving the community in different ways, I want us to have opportunities that we can serve together. So I want you to be prepared. These are things that are to come. So let's not forget what God did, but let's look forward to what this year is ahead of us. I want to share a story. Years ago, in my old missions dorm, I sat up one night in this extremely deep spiritual conversation with a friend of mine. And he is from the nation of the UAE, the United Arab of Emirates, if you're familiar with that, where that's at. And in this time that we were talking, it was like the presence of God was right there. He was a very spiritual person. And I loved it. I was just soaking it in. It was like sitting next to a gospel preacher for a while, and some of us might be thinking that doesn't sound so fun, but for me, especially at that time, that was incredible. And I just soaked in that time of awe, of allowing Jesus to be there in that moment. But then a few weeks later, I was a part of a missions work crew, and my friend, you know, he was assigned to the same crew. And there were a couple of people who weren't too excited that he was there. I said, why? This is a good guy. I mean, this guy, we could talk and talk about God forever. He says, well, have you ever worked with him? I said, no. You're about to find out why we're not too excited about this. So we're hauling garbage. And that was our job, just to haul garbage. And they had these huge bird piles, and we were moving things out to the bird piles. And pile after pile after pile, I noticed something that these guys already knew. He never seemed to be the first in line to help. kind of had an excuse as to why he wasn't lifting and working with us. But by the end of the day, I was a little annoyed because he was just a very poor worker. I was frustrated because here's this guy that I had like extremely deep spiritual conversations. But when it came to getting your hands dirty, there was nothing there. It was very empty. This young man had a deep passion for Jesus. But his excuses seemed very shallow. You know, this is actually a pretty common problem when it comes to Christians. I want to ask us, what is our work ethic, how we work, communicate to the world? What does it communicate about who God is? I was wrestling with the idea of what exactly is our theology of work. And this is Labor Day weekend. This is the time some to rest, some celebrating our military, some just using it as a great way that I can take a day off. Some of us don't get to take the day off, and we're still working. But this idea of having a theology of work, you know what? Let me just say, when I was thinking about exciting topics to preach about, this was not my top five. This was not the top 10. But I believe this is very practical when it comes towards being a follower of Jesus. Because that's what this year is about. It's about becoming disciples. And everything that we talk about is pushing us closer and closer to following Christ. Let's start in the beginning, because we know that God made everything, right? Within the beginning of the scriptures, we read the creation story. And in the creation story, God created everything. And he said that everything he made was good. Everything. The plants, the fields, the mountains, the seas, the oceans, the universe, the sun, and the moon. And it was all good. And then we read further on into the creation story. It says that the Lord God placed the man, Adam, into the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. He created man and he gave him a purpose to tend and watch over it. It's like, hey, happy birthday, get a job. And he starts off by being placed over everything around him. In verse 17 of the second chapter, he says, "And the man, and to the man he said, since you," okay, this is post the fall, "listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. And your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. You know, the earth, it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. And by the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So the Lord God banished both Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made." So within the creation story, we read that man was made, was given a job, was sent out to do this job. Man sinned, and he was cursed. But it wasn't just him who was cursed. Because the biblical story, when we're talking about work, the biblical story of work is that it too, I want you to hear this, it too got disfigured because of sin. Because of sin, the idea of work was cursed. Because work existed before the fall, and then it existed after the fall. Cultivating the ground was different before sin and after sin. Man was still given a job to do, though. You know, apparently work wasn't something that was to be laborious, hated. It wasn't something to avoid. It wasn't something that was regretted or painful or frustrating. It wasn't something that you looked forward to not being in the office. It was a blessing. You understand, work was tied into the purpose of man. It was his calling. We were put in charge of everything. We were asked to tend it. And then after the fall, the Lord says this: everything that you do, when you work from the ground, it's going to be hard. If work is biblically, okay, I want us to have this idea. If it's biblically drafted into our purpose, I want to suggest that it is important for us to understand what God has called us to do. Because we talk about, hey, what's my purpose in life? What am I called to do? What am I supposed to be doing? How do I live a good Christian life? And it's hard to talk about that if we don't bring up the concept of work. Because I always say that we were created for a relationship. If you come here, you will know that I will bring this idea up over and over and over again. And I think that's just because it's one of those concepts that's easy for us to forget, that you and I were created to have a relationship with Jesus, that we were created to be in this dynamic relationship with the Father, and that we have communion constantly with Him. But it's hard to pull that away from the idea when we're talking about our purpose. And if working is drafted into our purpose, we have to sit there and say, okay, God, if this is supposed to be a part of you, why is this something I really don't like to do? Why is this something I don't do well? For some of us, work is a four-letter word that is not something that we talk about a whole lot, something that we try to leave alone. But I want to suggest that's not how it should be. You and I were created in the image and likeness of God, right? Amen? And when we look at the Father, each person of the Trinity is engaged into distinct personal work. The Father creates, the Son redeems, and the Holy Spirit empowers the mission of the Father and the Son. God Himself is actively working in the world. And that's something that we understand and we take and we say, yes, God is at work. We say that constantly. God is at work. And we celebrate it. And we're thankful, because if God wasn't at work, where would we be at? But work is drafted into the purpose of God. And if we are made into His image and likeness, then work is somehow drafted into us. And it's something that we need to say, this can be good. There is a purpose. There is a meaning behind it. The scriptures, there's so many different scriptures that bring this concept out. And you can take some time and you can do a study on this. But I wanted to highlight three specific ones. In Proverbs 12:11, it says this, that a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And say, being a hard worker is something that's wise. It's a good principle. And the scriptures promote this idea of working hard. And it connects our work ethic to the ability that our needs are met. That there is something that goes together here. And being a hard worker isn't necessarily the activity that you and I do, because I've had different types of jobs. I've had hard work that entailed carrying loads of lumber and building decks and fences out in the middle of awful heat and making post holes. I don't know who, has anybody ever dug out by hand a post hole in the middle of clay? It is not the most loving experience that you could endure. It's annoying, and you're sitting there and you're hammering it down, and it is hard, hard work. I've also endured other types of hard work. When I've had to sit down with students at the detention center who were wrestling with concepts of, why did my parents leave me? Why didn't they love me enough? And emotionally, that was hard work. Walking with someone through their past. But the Bible tells us that being a hard worker is essential. It allows us to take care of our needs. And it's foolish not to be a hard worker. That's a character trait. It's not necessarily about the actual work that you're doing, but we're talking about character now. Colossians 3:23 says this, work willingly, willingly. And whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. And this was a common one that I remember hearing over and over, especially when I was younger. And it was, and I've shared the story before, when it was my turn to cut the grass, and I was like, I'm cutting the grass for Jesus, can't do a bad job. And you start thinking, I'm doing this for the Lord. And that scripture comes through, it constantly came into my head, but it was more like a guilt trip, I'll be honest, because I was thinking, okay, would Jesus be okay if I skip the edges here? No, okay, let me go over the edges. And it was more to guilt me into doing well. But that's actually goes against the whole purpose of the scripture. Because what does the scripture say? He says, work willingly. You and I are called to work willingly at whatever we do, as though as you were working for the Lord. So it presents the scriptures that it doesn't even matter what you're doing. What you physically do on this planet, it's saying, I don't care. Do it like you're doing it for Christ. Willingly. Do this. Give this up. Being willing is something that you get to choose. It's something that it's something that represents a sacrificial action to a God who loves you and says, I want you to, when you work, to work like you're doing it for me, and I want you to do it. It's not a forced idea. Again, it's a character trait. He wants you to be a type of person, when you're a worker, you willingly do things. When we do our work, our focus isn't to be directed upon man and our bosses and our and the institution that we're creating or the paycheck that we're getting, but it's on God. And he asks you to refocus your energy onto him, whatever you're doing. You know, that can be difficult. That can be really hard for a lot of us because depending upon the jobs and the setting that you have been involved in, it's very easily to get distracted with the desires that your boss has or their boss. It's easy to forget who's truly in charge of our lives. And this is when God invades our other spheres of influence. This is when I say, you know, the scriptures and what Jesus and the teachings that he's given us isn't just intended to be here for Sunday morning. This is when it's supposed to be applied. It's supposed to be put into practice outside of just here. This is supposed to be something that when we go and we do those things that other people really hate, we go out into the world and we're bringing gospel, we're bringing good news into areas that we call our work, where other people would say that's a four-letter word, and we as believers of Jesus say, no, this is my mission. Do you get that? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. He is talking to people, specifically here, to those who are bringing the gospel. And he's telling, listen, if you're gonna do what I've commanded you to do, if you're going to be a pastor, a teacher, a missionary, someone who shares his word, I want you. This is not we're not just talking about a secular concept now. God is bringing in the idea of work to those who are called to do ministry. He says, you work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker. God asks us to be good workers. So then when I bring the gospel and I'm talking about Jesus, but my work ethic is pretty shoddy, am I living in obedience to Christ? Yes? No? No. Because he tells us to be good workers. If we're followers of Jesus, we're listening to the scriptures and we don't get to pick and choose what we follow and what we don't. Say we follow the scriptures and the teachings that he's given us. And this is within the scriptures. Because work forms our character. And it is this outflow of who we are in relationship with that redirects our energy and how we do things. You understand? Work involves worship. We worship God through obedience to him in all areas of our life. Thus, this attitude that we have makes this work meaningful. You can do whatever it is, and I'm going to say, okay, if I have a job, this is my worship to Christ, and I'm going to use this as a living testimony to who Jesus is. So if I'm washing those tubs, if I'm going out and making phone calls, if I'm sitting behind a desk entering data, if I am working at a school district, if I am taking care of people who are sick and dying, whatever I am doing, I am worshiping Christ. Because work is an extension of our purpose. It is drafted into us. It is what we were created to do. We were created to worship God. Amen? To be a follower of Jesus means you are a transformed one. And this is going to even affect the way you and I work, the way we handle the soil, the way we experience life with others who are non-believers, side by side, the transformation of Jesus Christ should be real in these areas. It should be evident that there is something different about the way you do the work. We are living witnesses to this power. And letting Jesus change the way you and I do the work will create powerful spaces for us to share the gospel. Do you understand? There is something about it, that we see. There is something about when we are working with someone who is a hard worker, a diligent worker. There's something that all of a sudden we attribute. We look at this and we're like, man, this guy, this woman is diligently working. They are hard. They are focused. They are determined. And there's something inside of us when we see that, we connect to, and we're like, this is right. This is how it should be. And let me propose this. The reason why we can connect somewhere deep in our souls that we can see this is true is because the Spirit of the living God is represented there. That this is an image of Christ. That working hard and well is what he calls us to do. And other people can see this. People who are not believers are able to recognize something significant that's happening. That we are mirrors to the living God and his purposes for our lives at that moment. You know, most non-Christians will see work as a means to an end. That's all it is. If you are not a believer, you will look at work and you will say that it provides the beer money, okay? It provides my nice retirement, my pension, means to a better life. And unfortunately, this can even be true to Christians. But it's not supposed to be that way. Work is our worship. Work is something that God calls us to do as if we're doing it unto him, willingly. Our view of work itself must fundamentally be changed from those around us. We aren't to use work for its benefits, but we're called to worship God through our work. God will be honored with our results. It pleases him. And if we're disciples of Jesus, our heart intention should be, I want to do whatever I can to bring a smile to my Lord. I want my life to be a life, and I can say, God, I want to love you in everything. When I'm here and we're fellowshipping, we're worshiping, we're praying, I want to worship you. When I'm out on the fields and in the middle and digging a ditch, I want to worship you. When I'm in the factory, when I'm behind my desk, I want that to be worship towards you. The gospel is real in all areas of our life. And this is a way that we get to engage us. That you and I are followers of Jesus. We are collaborators with the kingdom. We are co-laborers in bringing the kingdom of God on earth. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, it's difficult at times to talk about work. And we confess that there's probably been moments where we hated it. We hated the jobs that we've been a part of. We've allowed ourselves to be focused on the ends, on how much money these jobs we've had brought into our account, what it does for my title, how I'm recognized, whatever selfish gain I can get out of work, that we have looked at work with the eyes of man. And we confess that there are plenty of times that we have done this. And we ask that you change the way we see work. God, that we can come before you and say, show me how to worship you through my work. Show me how to love you and bring gospel through my work. Help me be more diligent in all that I do. Help me be a hard worker that lives up to the example of who you are. Jesus, we confess our need for you in this area of our life. Because we're disciples, we're followers, we are men and women who chase after you and love you and want to bring your good news to this planet. Lord, we submit ourselves willingly to you. Say that we love you. God, if there's anybody here today who has never made that confession of faith, has never given their heart over to you, Jesus, I pray that you would speak to them today. God, I pray that your love that is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and quick to forgive, would be present. Holy Spirit, you would draw closer and closer to you. Lord, we worship you. Through our lips, through our hearts, and through our actions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.